the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Shall we go to God in prayer? Our most precious Father, as we come around this table of remembrance, and we partake of the bread and the cup, and we think of Jesus and the suffering and the beating and the mocking that he went through. And then he laid himself on that cross of Calvary, not for any of his sins, because he was sin-free, but because of our sins, he was nailed to that cross. So, Father, let us examine ourselves and dig deep in our soul to ponder what went on the past week. But we too want to love Jesus as much as he loved us. So Father, please be with us as we partake. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Good morning. Great song for Thanksgiving, isn't it? How great thou art. We have so many things. Our God is so great to be thankful for. You know, when he sang that, we discovered that here in our church, we have 3 out of 4 preachers who can sing. I was going to try to do a duet with them, but no. Couple things as far as announcements today. Thanksgiving dinner tonight. If you haven't signed up to join us, you can still do that. Looks like we're a little short on some veggies. I think we're okay with dessert. But a little, so if you want to check, if you anything else you want to bring, just sign the list there if you would. We need you to sign the list simply so we know how many tables to set up, seats to set up. So if you plan to come, we have a fantastic feast planned. Tonight we would collect our offering for the local benevolence, a Thanksgiving offering. And just a great time together. So hope you can join us for that, 5:30 tonight. Bell ringing for Salvation Army. We're the ones in town who give out the money for those in need for Salvation Army. We're thankful for Sue Leibert, who takes care of that, and Donna Holzer, who is the treasurer. So we have a wonderful opportunity to witness to people, and we'd like to be able to do this. And we like to help by also ringing the bells. And I think we have about 4 spots that need filled yet. So if you could ring a bell for a couple hours on a Friday over the next few weeks, check the list and see if you can help us out in that way. We are doing the Christmas card box this year. We did not do that last year, so you can read the announcement and figure all that out yourself. We do have a special board meeting today after the second service. It will not last long, but fellas, if you'd be back for that right after the second service this morning. Last week, we received the sad news that Chad is resigning as our associate, and he'll be with us till the end of the year. We can be glad for that. But because of that, I'm delaying my retirement. I'll be with you for a while here. So we had in the bulletin the week before that they were having a retirement dinner for me and also collecting some funds, and some people gave toward that. If you gave money toward my retirement, we want to give that back to you. So if you wrote a check, we'll plan on just voiding that. The secretary do that. If you gave money, we need you to call the secretary, come in, tell her how much you gave, and be honest. Come in, tell her how much you gave, and get that money back if you would. Appreciate that. Please look over the prayer list. Number of people on the list here, number of people dealing with COVID, a number of other issues. Braxton Fiesel went back into the hospital yesterday or the day before, which was it? Yesterday. And it looks like the surgery incision is opening. Is that what? Yeah. And it's almost like a hernia. Some of her intestines started poking out. So they're not sure what they're going to do. She was in a lot of pain. She's in Allegheny General Hospital. So please add Braxton to your list and keep her in your prayers if you would. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. The late Johnny Carson, in describing Thanksgiving, once said, "Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday people travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year, and then they discover once a year is way too often. I don't know about you, but I've always enjoyed Thanksgiving with the family. Oh, every family has a complainer. We know that. Oh, the mashed potatoes are too cold. You didn't make my favorite pie. The kids are too noisy. Every family has one of those. Every family has that relative who's late for dinner, and you need to decide if you're going to start without them or you're going to eat some cold food. Every family has those relatives who don't talk to each other. Ah, don't sit me next to him. Don't sit me next to her. But even with those small annoyances and the noises and the mess and the work, I love Thanksgiving. I love it today, and I loved it when I was a kid. But there was something I did not like about Thanksgiving when I was a kid, and that is I had to sit at the kids' table. My brother and I and my small two cousins, we had to sit at a kid's table. Everyone else got to sit at the big dining room table. We sat in the kitchen behind a wall by ourselves at this kid's table. We sat there with the dirty dishes and the turkey skeleton and the gravy-stained floor. Did you ever have to sit at a kid's table? I find a little poem. It's entitled Goodbye Pumpkin Pie. It's a little long, but it's fun, and I'm reading it for a purpose, so stick with me. It sounds a little bit like it was written by Dr. Seuss, but it wasn't. It was written by a guy named Howard Fensel. Goodbye, pumpkin pie. Year after year, I go crazy. Every Thanksgiving, I sit with the babies. It's the little kids' table, the table for tots, where my mom makes me sit if I like it or not. The table for grown-ups is fit for a king, goblets and giblets and gold napkin rings, and bread and rolls and salad and dressing with drippings, one glass just for drinking and another one just for sipping. But here all the kids drink from styrofoam cups. We eat small turkey bits that our mums have cut up. Our plates are red plastic, and so are our spoons. We eat by ourselves in a small dining room. I have dozens of cousins, age one and age two, whose Thanksgiving feast is greenish-brown goo. They slop up their faces with vegetable mashes, and after they drink, they all have mustaches. They erp, and they burp, and they belch, and they gulp. Oh, why can't I sit at the feast for adults? All the mooshing and mashing and smooshing and gnashing. I put down my fork, and I thought about fasting. What's wrong? Asked my mom. She was pouring some drinks. You haven't touched dinner, not one single thing. She straightened the napkin, tucked it under my chin, gave me a hug as she pushed in my chair. She cut my turkey bits two sizes smaller. She held up my glass, have a sip of some water. She dished up a spoon of potatoes and gravy. My mom tried to feed me like I was a baby. Well, my face turned as red as a rhubarb pie filling. I quick turned away, and my cup went a-spilling. Boosh! Water splashed on Mom's face and her hair, and it looked like some gravy was mixed up in there. I should have said sorry. I should have said oops. I should have helped Mom wipe the gravy brown goop. What happened instead is a mystery, my friends, but there's one thing for sure, I won't do it again. I opened my mouth. Do you know what I did? I sassed my mom back like a spoiled, snotty kid. I can use my own fork, I can use my own knife, and I don't want to sit at the table for tykes. I can't stand all the gunk, I can't stand all the gack, and I won't watch little Timothy eating like that. He got yams in his hair, he's got yams north and south, and there's food everywhere but inside of his mouth. And there's Sarah and Icky and Jimmy and France mixing peas in their milk, eating with their bare hands. This is not what the pilgrims and Indians did. I don't want to sit here at the table for kids. Then Mom said, I think your Thanksgiving's all through, and I think that it's time that you go up to your room. In my room, my brain thought, this just couldn't be. In my room, why, what on earth did I do? My tummy got grumbly, my feet both felt stumbly. I wanted to shout, but my mouth was all mumbly. I walked past the turkey, the dressing, and trimmings. My feast was now ending before its beginning. Goodbye, pumpkin pie. I said as I walked by it. So long, green bean bake, though I never would try it. I sat all alone on my bed feeling hungry. I felt like I had a stone knot in my tummy. I could still hear the forks and the knives and the spoons clacking and clinging and scraping up food. My sniffer sniffed foods drifting up from afar, and on that Thanksgiving day, I was sure I would starve. So I played with my toys, then I sang a few numbers. I stood on my head to get rid of this hunger. Then somersaults, push-ups, I played tiddlywinks, but Thanksgiving turkey was all I could think. My belly growled out like a great grizzly bear, and I knew pretty soon I needed something down there. Anything, anything, liver or beets, even heaps of Hungarian pickled pig's feet. I'll eat wood like a termite or flies like a frog. I'll chew catnip like kitties or shoes like a dog. I was just about ready to snack on my hat when I heard someone knocking, a rat-a-tat-tat. It was Mum with a plate piled high with a feast, and it didn't seem that she was mad in the least. She set up a TV tray right by my bed and gave me a kiss on top of my head. "You're growing up fast," she said, hiding a tear. "Won't you join the adults for Thanksgiving next year?" I can identify with that poem. I bet some of you can too. I was really thankful when I was invited to eat at the big people's table. But you know something? I was even more thankful when, just like all of you, when I was invited to sit at the Lord's table. In Matthew chapter 6, we read about the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper. And verse 26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when they had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." You see, the Lord's Supper is a Thanksgiving meal. And as I think about the Lord's Supper, there are a couple things I think about in relationship to Thanksgiving. First of all, I'm thankful that it is a weekly memorial. Acts chapter 2, we read about the early church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and prayer. And the breaking of bread there refers to the Lord's Supper. We are to devote ourselves to the Lord's Supper, just as we devote ourselves to prayer and fellowship and the apostles' teaching, that is the word of God. When do we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching? Well, it's something that we can do any time. Certainly, we ought to read the Bible throughout the week. We have Wednesday night Bible study. We study the Bible on our own. Maybe we have devotions with our family. We can do it any time, but we always do it on the first day of the week when we meet together. I don't know any church that doesn't study the word on Sunday. When do we devote ourselves to fellowship? Or again, it's something that we can do any time. We go places with friends from the church. We call people up. We fellowship throughout the week. But still, Sunday, it's a special time when we meet as a body and we fellowship with each other. Every first day of the week. When do we devote ourselves to prayer? Well, certainly, I hope we do it more than one day a week. We certainly pray throughout the day. And we pray often and at various times. But we always pray. Has there ever been a Sunday that you've been here where we have not prayed? Prayer is an important part when we meet together. We devote ourselves to it. We do it every Lord's Day. When do we take the Lord's Supper? Well, it's something we certainly could do anytime throughout the week, any night of the week, we could devote ourselves to taking the Lord's Supper and remembering what he did. That would not be wrong. But we always take it on the first day of the week. We devote ourselves to doing these things when we meet. I don't know any church that would say, let's not pray on Sunday. I don't know any church that would say, let's not have the preaching. Let's not study the word on Sunday. I don't know any church that would say, you know, this fellowship thing's no good. Let's not meet. I don't know any church that would say, first day of the week, let's not meet on the first day of the week anymore. But there are a lot of churches that exclude the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They devote themselves to the other things, but they exclude the Lord's Supper. Now, why would they do that? Well, they say, if we do this on every first day of the week, it will become too common. We won't appreciate it as much. But you never hear them say that about preaching. You never hear them say that about prayer. You never hear them say that about fellowship or taking up the offering. You never hear them say, if we pray every week, it'll get old. You never hear anybody saying, you know, meeting once a week is going to, it gets old. Maybe we ought to meet once a month. Maybe we ought to meet just once every 6 months. Maybe we ought to meet just once a year. At least you never hear anybody who's serious about what Jesus taught say those things. The New Testament church sets an example for us. The church at Corinth met on the first day of the week, and when they did, they took the Lord's Supper. The church at Troas met on the first day of the week, and when they did, they took the Lord's Supper. Well, I don't know about you, but this weekly memorial, this Thanksgiving meal, is so important to me. Even as a preacher, I get busy throughout the week, and sometimes it seems like there are not enough hours in a day. And I don't always take time to focus on what Jesus has done for me and to thank him for it. I need this memorial. It's a time that gets me focused every week and gets me in the right attitude as I thank God for a sacrifice that is hard for me to even grasp. I'm thankful that we meet weekly for the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper, we need to be thankful for what he has done for us. We need to remember what he has done for us. But more than just remembering, we need to be thankful for what he has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul calls the cup we take the Lord's, that is the in the Lord's Supper, he calls it the cup of thanksgiving. Some of you will remember a program that was on years ago. It was a television program called On the Road with Charles Kuralt. One of those broadcasts, Kuralt, was in Moscow, and an older gentleman with a lapel full of war labels approached him. The older man was a Russian doctor who was a doctor during World War II. He was captured by the Germans and put in a POW camp. And the Germans were particularly hard on the Russian prisoners. Americans in the same camp got abundance of food in comparison. The Russians were only given a bowl of thin, cold turnip soup every day, and because of that, hundreds of the Russian POWs died. Well, with tears streaming down his face, the Russian doctor told Charles Kuralt all about this group of American soldiers who smuggled food to the Russians, and by doing so, they risked their own lives. He wrote down a list of their names as best as he could remember and gave them to Charles Kuralt and asked him to find these men. It was a painstaking task, but Kuralt found each of the American soldiers who were still living. He arranged a meeting. The Russian doctor was flown into Phoenix, Arizona, and he was reunited with these men who risked their lives to save him from starvation. In the Phoenix airport, 40 years, the Russian doctor saw his fellow captives, and he was finally be able to say, thank you. And that's a great story. This doctor was able to say thank you to those who helped save him 40 years earlier. But Jesus died for us some 2,000 years ago. But every week, we are invited to meet around his table, and we are able to say thank you for saving us from our sins. We are able to say thank you to the one who died that we might live. We were able to say thank you in the presence of Jesus. Sometimes we forget that. But when we take the Lord's Supper, Jesus is present. Remember, he said, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. But more than that, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, verse 29, he says, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are in the presence of Jesus. Can you imagine what he thinks when we don't show up for the meal? When we don't show up to thank him for his amazing sacrifice? When we don't show up because we're tired? When we don't show up because it's a great day to get an early start on that project? When we don't show up because we have errands to run? What does the Father think? What does God think when we're no-shows around this Thanksgiving table? No shows because life is busy. His son sacrificed his life that we might have eternal life, and we let little things interfere. We let little things keep us from meeting around the table and thanking him. Can you imagine a fireman sacrificing his life for a child? Then the family of the child doesn't show up for the memorial service because that's the day they plan to go to the lake. How do you think the dad of that fireman would feel? I don't think he'd be happy. I imagine he'd be saddened, disappointed, hurt, probably angry. How does God feel when we fail to show up to this Thanksgiving table to which we've been invited? When we fail to show up and give thanks because life is busy. The Lord's Supper needs to be a priority. We need this time of thanksgiving. The film Places of the Heart was released in 1984. Maybe some of you saw it. The stars in the film included Sally Field and Ed Harris, John Malkovich, and Danny Glover. It was nominated at the Academy Awards for Best Picture. It did not win. But Sally Field was nominated for Best Actress, and she won the Academy Award. The film takes place in Texas in 1935 during the Great Depression. Sally Field is married to a sheriff, and he's called away during dinner with his family because there's a shooting. A young black man named Wiley is drunk. He's down by the railroad tracks, and he's just, you know, moving that gun around and just firing it just for fun. And the sheriff goes down. The sheriff seems to know him, and he talks to Wiley and wants to know what Wiley's doing. Just having fun, sheriff. And he's shooting the gun in the air, not at anybody. And finally, he shoots the gun, and it clicks. It's empty. And he's sad. He's drunk. And he turns around, and he looks at the sheriff, and he lifts up the gun, and he shoots it. And he shoots the sheriff in the chest, and the sheriff dies. Sally Field is now a widow. The Ku Klux Klan, they find Wiley, and although it wasn't really a crime, it was an accident, they lynch him. So the sheriff and Wiley are dead. And Sally Field is now raising her two children on their own. A blind tenant comes to live with them, not because she wants him to, but because there's a banker who's trying to foreclose on her property, and he forces this. An unemployed black man, played by Danny Glover, shows up and teaches her how to raise cotton. His name is Mose, and later on, he'll be run out of town. But Mose keeps Sally from being cheated by a dishonest businessman. Now, we're going to show a clip of the movie now. And as you watch the movie, I'm going to talk over it and tell you some things that are happening. The church, the town people have gathered. We're going to try this again here. The town people have gathered, and they're taking communion. The young couple in the film have had problems with infidelity. The husband has cheated on his wife, but now he's feeling sorry about what he did. The little girl is, of course, their child. This man that you see now is a member of the Ku Klux Klan, one of the guys who helped to hang the Wiley. This guy is the banker who is trying to foreclose on the home of Sally Field, the farm. This man, he's another KKK member. And then we go to this row, and there's Mose. Now, Mose is the black man who's been kicked out of town, but now he's back taking communion with them somehow. This is the blind tenant who has helped Sally Field. Next, we have the children, and they are taking communion also. And they take the communion. Then they pass it over to their mother. Now, in the earlier, we've seen this, and she's sitting by herself. There's no one next to her in the earlier shot. But here, there's somebody next to her, and she gives the communion to her husband, who was shot at the beginning of the movie. He's dead, and yet he's having communion. And he passes communion now to Wiley, the black young man who shot him. And that's how the movie ends. And the very last words said in the movie are said by the sheriff, and those are the words, peace of God. Now, no one really knows what the director and the producer of the movie were trying to say by that closing scene. If you watch the movie, the ending scene kind of takes you by surprise. But think about this. The Lord's Supper is a table that brings us all together with our faults, with our imperfections, with our sins. It's a place where we thank God for his forgiveness, a place where we challenge ourselves to do better as we serve him. And we do that because of what he has done for us. It's a place that reminds us that there are those who have gone on before us, but you know what? They're still alive because of his death and because of his resurrection. The Lord's table. We've been invited to sit at it. And when we do, we are reminded we have so much, so very much for which to be thankful. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you know that. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to know that. Jesus died that you can have eternal life. We're going to sing an invitation to him in just a moment. And if there's anybody here who needs to thank God by giving your life to him, the Bible says it's so simple. Through faith, we confess him as our Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, and we're baptized into him. If you need to make a decision, you could do so this morning. But if you're not quite ready, you want to understand this a little more, see us after the service, and let's set up a time to do that. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.